At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time for our Friday Forum. I'm joined in the studio by Seamus McGrath, TD, spokesperson on housing for Fianna Fáil. Cork South Central is his constituency. Kathleen Funchen, MEP of Sinn Féin for Ireland South, and Kevin Doyle, group head of news at the Irish Independent. Seamus, we'll go to you first. We have the new housing strategy, the action plan. Is this the magic bullet?
Well, I think this is a very substantive plan. There are over 80 measures in this plan in terms of actions. It isn't a plan about frills or slogans. It's a plan about real actions to deliver real progress. It sets a very ambitious target in terms of 300 units between now and 2030. It's a six-year plan.
300,000.
We're in the first year of that plan. And obviously we need to scale up the outturn of housing significantly to reach the demand that is there and make up for a deficit of the
past. Critics have said, why no annual targets? And I know when we had the minister on, he said, well, if you have a target and you don't reach it, you're criticised. And if you do reach it, you'll be told it was too low.
Yeah, the reality is completions every year will be published by the CSO. So there is a clear measure there every year. There is an overall target, and there are specific targets in relation to social housing, newly built social housing, 12,000 per annum, starter homes, 15,000 per annum. So there are targets there, and the local authorities will be given strict targets, and there will be clear measurement of performance. And that's a new thing in this plan. There will be direct engagement between the housing department and the local authorities to ensure that we get delivery. But it's important to remember that this plan is a consolidation of measures that have already been announced over the last few months and new measures. And when you look at the commitment of government in terms of funding, the commitment in the National Development Plan of over 40 billion to address the infrastructural deficit, for example, reform of the planning system to speed up planning decisions, and a range of other measures trying to bridge the viability
and
gap.
And there's 180 pages. We had the minister in yesterday and we got through some of them, but of course there's so much detail there. Kathleen, what do you think?
Yeah, so I mean, you asked there, Pat, what was the magic bullet? And I really think that any of us involved in politics were hoping that it would be. It was a long time coming. We're a year now into this government, pretty much. And for any of us, I mean, since the time I was elected in 2009, housing persists to be the number one issue that we deal with. So I really want to see a plan that works and delivers. And unfortunately, this is not the plan. It's more the same. It's, a lot of the funds are already existing. They're dressed up as something new. We need to see some more emergency measures for people, for example, in rental accommodation, a ban on rent increases, looking at expanding tenant in situ schemes, and also looking at, no fault eviction bans, because it would be one way to really look at in an emergency, like as a short term measure. And then we do need to see, I think they've underestimated the housing need, even in terms of what the housing commission that was created by the government.
But all said, some of the things you say there about the eviction ban and all of the sort of stuff, it doesn't increase the housing supply.
But you need to look at a range of measures. So, as I said, that would have been, I think there needs to be like short term emergency things for people right now in really difficult situations. And then in terms of the plan, they're underestimating the housing need by about 20% annually. So we do need to see a huge ramp up in supply. Our own housing spokesperson, Owen O'Brien, published a very comprehensive document and policy in relation to this last year around how you would, create maybe lower finance, for example, for the SME sector to help smaller builders in terms of, developing and building. And we need to, I would like to see as well, and it's contained in the Sinn Féin plan, a lot more looking at it at a regional level, looking at, kind of individual plans for local authorities. The area I represent now, Ireland South, is a good mix of urban and rural. We know there's different housing needs. We know there's huge issues, for example, around...
Are you saying let the local authorities at it?
It's not just one, you can't just look at one thing and say, just let local authorities, but they do definitely need more power in terms of what they know needs to be delivered in both social and affordable,
would
say.
What do you think of it?
I think, Pat, that all sides, government and opposition, agree that there's no magic bullet. And it is, as Kathleen says, a series of different actions targeting different things. But this is the third plan in 8 years. And if you look back at Housing for All, which was Dara O'Brien's plan from about 4 years ago, it had a whole list. It diagnosed all the problems as it was seen, and they were rent, the situation for buyers, particularly first-time buyers, the supply problem, the cost, the price of housing problem, the vacant homes, the homelessness. And I could keep going, but they were the list of problems it saw. And none of them in that period have been resolved.
Rectified, yeah.
They're all still there. They're all still the problems that this new plan is trying to resolve. So we haven't actually managed to fix a single part of what is a bigger problem. And I think we have a real issue now in that there's a hope question around this, right? So if you go back 24 hours and you sat here yesterday, Pat, we were all depressed about the state of Irish football. And today we think we're world beaters.
Well, we had two magic bullets last night. So.
We did, we did. But like, I got a press release landed in my inbox this morning, Pat, and I printed it out because I have to say I was a bit agog at it, right? It was from the Green Party, right? So they're not here to defend themselves. But just to remind listeners, we're less than a year out from a general election in which, going into that, the Green Party had been in government for 5 years. And it begins with, the government's new housing plan is more of the same, shifting the blame onto local communities and local councils while pouring money into a broken system and rewarding land speculation. And this is the party that was in government a year ago. And I think that is just everything that is wrong with this debate, is that within 12 months, you're saying it's more of the same, when actually what has gone on for the last 5 years, you were a big part of. And they have all the solutions now as well, Pat. They have listed out the solutions around CPOs for vacant buildings and increasing funding to local authority housing stuff. And I just think that's the problem with housing now.
You know, people say it's not just the one thing. There is no single magic bullet. But if you do everything, if you allow living over the shop, for instance, and the difficulties you have with fire regulations and so on, you know, you've got to make the thing absolutely perfect for it to happen at all. Derelict buildings ignored for years and years and years. Council houses kept vacant because they are going to redevelop someday, but in the meantime, no one gets to live in them. That kind of thing.
And sometimes that's an issue of funding for local authorities. It's not just that it might be a regeneration project.
But
so
that is something that could be resolved.
Sorry
to interrupt. Just on the local authority thing, though, like, part of this plan is also about spurring them on, is kind of the phraseology being used, to get local authorities doing it, and we're going to kind of keep league tables and stuff. Why are we doing that now? We're 14 years into a housing crisis. If they haven't been doing it for 14 years, why would they start now?
And they have to have the resources.
We do have a sense of perspective here. I mean, you mentioned Housing for All. Housing for All brought housing output from 20,000 per annum to over 30,000 per annum. So progress is being made. And there are obviously external challenges. There's population growth of almost 100,000 last year. So the government is trying to respond to the changing situation. But when you look at the likes of the expanded role of the Land Development Agency, for example, an additional 2.5 billion in this, they are actively out there. They are a state agency actively out there in the property sector, developing houses, whether it's cost rental, purchase, affordable housing and so on. That's critically important. There's new measures in this plan. It isn't a rehash of old measures. It is a consolidation of existing measures plus new measures. But when you look at the additional funding, for example, in the Irish Strategic Investment Fund of 400 million to put additional finance into the sector, we're trying to build a capacity within the construction sector, improve the labour force, but also ensure that developers embrace modern methods of construction, which is very important. Over 25%.
It's not happening.
Well, it's happening to some extent. I was on a site in Cork recently, Pat, and they are very much embracing on-site and off-site modern methods of construction, and they said they can turn around a house in 15, 14 weeks at that time frame, which is exceptional. So we have to, as you said, it is a range of measures. There is no silver bullet here, but this plan brings together a wide range of measures, and the capacity in the construction sector is a critical point as well.
I'll read you some of the text coming in. Please tell me it won't be a concrete jungle. There'll be a concentration of all of that, but no community and no facilities. That's from Karen in Dublin. We're so tired of housing being a political football. It's not solving the issue. Why can't all the parties sign up to a united task force and work together to solve the national crisis? The population of Ireland deserves this action. That's from Kieran. And a final one on this. There are four houses to rent in Ennis, County Clare. This is beyond serious. It's a catastrophe. How can you attract investment when you have zero housing?
Well, that is part of the problem now, is that the housing thing started out, I suppose, if you go back to post-crash, and there was a supply and demand issue, and it started out as that kind of a local issue in some ways, and now it has become an issue around jobs, around investment, around how international people are looking at Ireland. So it's actually going to be damaging for the economy in the long run if we can't get on top of it.
But the financial aspect is very important, because the government are stumping up €9 billion in 2026 for housing, which is record funding. But to get to the level of output we need of 50,000 per year, we have to have a funding package in the sector of about €20 billion. So we have to bring private sector investment to play, and that is why the key measures to address the viability gap. For example, Pat, as you know, there are 40,000 units with permission in Dublin that have not come in.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
That's a very significant
But isn't
issue.
That because governments have vacillated and again they think they'll get more. If they hang on in there, we'll get looser regulation, we'll get more stories on top of a block. That's what developers think. And they want to maximise their profit.
And that is the importance of this plan. It does bring certainty. It brings certainty in terms of policy and what the policy platform is, and it brings certainty in terms of the financial situation. And there is no excuse anymore in terms of permissions that are out there that have not commenced. There are significant measures to bridge that viability gap for apartment buildings, for example. And if we want to achieve the kind of output that we need to achieve in this country of over 50,000 per year, there has to be development of scale in terms of apartments as well as your traditional house type development.
Another issue as well that sometimes gets a little bit overlooked in the housing debate is how much it affects people trying to exit domestic violence relationships.
Yes.
And that people sometimes, you know, they're stuck in a situation where they have nowhere to go, particularly in rural communities where there might not be a refuge, or it could be miles and miles away from maybe where your children are in school. So that does, we need to see a lot more in terms of not just refuge spaces, but, you know, step down housing as well.
I want to move on to more bad behaviour. We were talking about vandalism in particularly in the Dublin City area, and the text came in, you know, no discos or youth clubs. There's plenty of soccer and GA clubs and boxing clubs everywhere. Let's not hide behind there is nothing to do, bull. That's from Keith. We get the usual excuses that these kids have nothing to do. I had nothing to do when I was growing up, but I didn't vandalise playgrounds. Where are the parents of these teens who are causing the trouble? Why aren't the parents held responsible and punished adequately for their teens' behaviour? From Sean in Westport. And this one. My wife and I are just back after a holiday in Maine in the United States. We spent most of our time walking and hiking in the state national parks in Acadia and Moosehead Lake. The public spaces were immaculately maintained and greatly respected by the general public and visitors to the park. There were eco-toilets on the remote walks in the parks, which are basic but functional. But the key point is they are valued and respected. We felt very safe and secure everywhere we travelled and didn't worry about our car belongings being robbed in the car parks. The police presence was very low-key everywhere we travelled, as crime is so low in the state of Maine. I can never understand why a small country like Ireland is so tolerant of vandalism and disrespectful behaviour in our public spaces. Maybe our public officials should travel to Maine to see how they run things there. That's from Kieran Rathfarnham. So, what's wrong with us? Kevin.
Well, that's a lot to take.
You know, you see
that's a lot for a Friday morning.
New public toilets installed in St. Anne's Park set on fire. Why?
Yeah, it's very hard to explain. And I think I feel like I spend half my life on Talbot Street, Pat, where the Irish Independent offices are, which is arguably the worst street in Dublin. And I spend the other half of my life in the playgrounds of North Dublin. So I think I probably see it from two different perspectives. But I see the same thing, which is an awful lot of teenagers on e-scooters, particularly, who just don't have any respect. And it's a real respect thing. And I think when you don't respect the area you're in, then you end up with toilets being burnt out or playgrounds being burnt out. And I think your texter that says that goes back to parents is probably right. Because yes, we need facilities and we need soccer clubs and boxing clubs and all those things to get kids off the street. But there's more of that than there ever was when, like I'm only 40, very young, Pat. But there's more of that than when I was growing up, let me tell you. There's so many opportunities for kids now.
So many people are saying, look, the gently, gently carrot doesn't work. You need the stick. It's time to have adequate punishment. An example, my local playground and Astro Pitch had fire attempts over the summer. We're due to get a new playground in early 2026. I take my boys here most weekends, but all it takes is a group of lads all in black doing wheelies to make people leave.
And that's exactly it. It's intimidation as much as
Kathleen. Yeah, so I think there's a range of things there. Okay, so there is still a lot of areas throughout the country that there isn't a huge amount of facilities and there isn't a huge amount of things. And we do know that there was, you know, cuts over the years, particularly like if you look at back from 2008, and I think to a certain extent we're paying the price of some of those community facilities and, you know, youth clubs and stuff. And so it does, there is a need, there's certainly a need. And then for a lot of people, particularly now in cost of living, a lot of after school activities and stuff cost money. So there's, I think there's a range of issues. That's one particular issue. Then I do think that, you know, if there is a situation with persistence, you know, the same kind of kids or the same teenagers, this is where we need community.
But there are no consequences. Isn't that the real problem?
And this is where community policing comes in, and it can be the key situation. But we don't have enough community guards, and they're, you know, they're trying to get to, like, you know, they're covering huge areas. So we need more investment in community and policing that can actually get chatting. You know, I'm talking about low level stuff here now. Get chatting to teenagers, get chatting to groups, and try and figure out. And like years ago, that was something that they had the time to do. People maybe knew their local guard a lot more, but community, like, we had fantastic community guards over the years in Kilkenny that people knew and that they were able to talk to young people. We don't have the resources for that now. That's a big issue.
I certainly wouldn't subscribe to that view either, that a lack of community facilities is an excuse for antisocial behaviour, for vandalism and so on. It certainly isn't and should never be. There are great facilities out there, but of course we need to continue to invest in community facilities and sporting facilities and other facilities that do provide a positive outlet for young people, I suppose. But the youth diversion programme, I think, is critically important here as well, and a lot of investment is going into that. I mean, the senior Gardaí will tell you, I suppose, the last thing they want to do is put a young person into a criminal system if they feel there's a chance that they can save that person from entering the criminal world.
But
and that's critically important.
But we have to know that. You can't touch me.
No, but we have to strike the right balance here. I mean, there are offenders, obviously, who need to be put into the criminal system. But look, Kathleen is right in terms of investment in community Gardaí. That is happening. To be fair, the government have made a commitment to recruit an additional 1,000 Gardaí per year over the lifetime of the government. Today, there is an announcement in terms of the outturn for Temple Bar, 194 new Gardaí who will be spread across the country. Mm. So there is progress being made, and community policing and visible policing is important. But equally, investment in public realm, in streetscape, you know, the likes of the Dublin City Task Force, there will be one following Cork City as well, where you're investing in communities, you're improving the area, you're tidying up dereliction and so on. It creates a better environment as well.
I'll read out some of the simple texts. It's a law enforcement thing, says one. Parenting is the problem, says another. It's our culture that's the problem, says a third. There's no respect across the board. It's not just the kids. It should start in preschool. Teach civic pride and being a good citizen from the ages of 3 all the way up to 18. Always no joined up thinking, as Katrina said earlier on our programme, working in partnership for the greater good. And this one about Tallinn, the city of Tallinn, e-scooters everywhere, kids gathered everywhere, plenty of poverty and deprivation, but I never felt in any danger during the 18 months that I lived here. Anywhere in the city of Tallinn. So there's something wrong with us.
Well, I'll tell you one small story just on Talbot Street, Pat, which I remember talking to a guard before about the level of drug dealing, that it's open drug dealing on Talbot Street. Like, I don't think anyone can deny that. There's huge levels of antisocial behaviour there. And the question was, we were talking about office safety and for staff and stuff. Do you ever phone it in? Like, when you see somebody dealing drugs on Talbot Street, do you phone it in? I'm like, well, I don't think it is, Kathleen, because, like, it's all day, every day. So if they walked up and down the street, they would see it.
They would see it, all right.
But the thing is, that comes back to a resourcing issue as well, in fairness to the Gardaí. Like, they do need the actual numbers to be able to police it.
Yeah, but the Gardaí cannot be the parents.
I think it's similar to our earlier debate. It's not going to be community policing plays a vital role, but then there is people that are past that need a stronger.
The court system is very light touch as well, which needs to change, because, you know, if you do the crime, you need to pay, and, you know, punishment needs to reflect the crimes. It needs to be proportionate, and very often it isn't. There are too many chances given to people.
Now, I want to go stateside now. Last month on the show, we spoke with Sam Mangel about the special treatment that Ghislaine Maxwell was having in a minimum security prison in the United States, and fresh reporting is coming out on that, including the snacks being provided for her guests and special email privileges. Annie Farmer is an Epstein survivor, and she spoke to Caitlin Collins on CNN.
Honestly, I'm disgusted. I think that many Americans feel that way when they hear about this special treatment. And the question that comes to mind is why? It's hard to know why this would happen unless there's something, you know, it's someone she knows or something she knows that would be enabling this special treatment. And I think it's particularly upsetting. I saw earlier that there were other women at this facility, nonviolent offenders who had actually been transferred to a more secure facility just for speaking out about her being there and how uncomfortable it made them. And so the whole thing is really troubling.
So VIP treatment for Ghislaine Maxwell. Kathleen, what's going on in America? I mean, is the end looming for Donald Trump, only to be replaced by probably someone as bad, who'll be J.D. Vance?
That's the situation in terms of Ghislaine Maxwell, and that is just, it must be so unbelievably devastating and frustrating for the survivors. And we only know about this situation and this Epstein case because people were brave enough to come out and speak out, and it's always a difficult thing to do. And I think we always have to have people at the forefront of our minds in relation to that. But I mean, how is this allowed to happen, that you would be, it basically sounds like some sort of a high-class hotel treatment, not, yeah. And what type of rehabilitation or anything is happening in relation to that situation. So it's, and I think those files need to be released. I think that they, in the interest of transparency, whatever is known, you know, people need to know what's in
okay,
it.
I mean, it's quite simple, Seamus. She's got the goods on somebody.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's, as Kathleen said, it's very difficult for the survivors of Epstein. I mean, he was an extreme predator, and Maxwell, you know, assisted him and has been convicted for that. And to think that she's getting special treatment, which is clearly happening. I mean, I've seen reports of this myself on TV. It's so difficult for the survivors. And look, you have to ask the question, why is she getting special treatment? And you can put two and two together.
And do you get Trump when you add that two and two?
Well, you know, a lot of fingers are pointing in that direction. And
I'm just wondering, are the Taoiseach going off to give a bowl of shamrock to this guy who may turn out to be a predator?
And obviously there is a resistance to releasing full information and the emails and the documents and so on. That needs to change in the interest of the survivors. If there's going to be, you know, proper support there for them, there has to be full information and transparency out there. So look, I'm thinking as a survivors in this, because that's the critical
Kevin, what do you say, looking at the unfolding politics of all of this?
Yeah, well, you asked, Pat, is this the downfall of Trump? I would say no, because Trump is shameless, and Trump will find a way. He found a way back to the presidency. Mm. People said that could never happen after the first 4 years. And there he is, even more powerful than ever. I mean, if you try to figure out what happened here, maybe the best place to look is some of those historical emails that we know exist from going back to 2010, 2011, because they were written at a time when he wasn't president, when that wasn't in the frame. And at that stage, Epstein is writing to Ghislaine Maxwell, describing Trump as the dog who hasn't barked. Yeah. And that, to me, is what tells me there is more to this. There is something that...
It's funny that he writes about Trump, that Trump is a truly awful person, is the worst person he's ever met. And this is from a guy who's a convicted sex predator.
Yeah, and allegedly he was offering to help the Russians understand how to operate Trump, and that Epstein was the man that could bring Trump down during his first term as president. So it's very clear that there is some level of relationship there. Epstein's never going to tell us, obviously. He's never going to be able to tell us because he's dead. And Ghislaine Maxwell, it seems like her silence may have been bought. And I think Trump is Teflon then.
Well, based on what we know now about Epstein, we're not terribly surprised that he's dead, actually. We have to leave it there. Seamus McGrath, TD, spokesperson on housing for Fianna Fáil from Cork South Central. Kathleen Funchin, MEP for Sinn Féin in Ireland South. And Kevin Doyle, Group Head of News at the Irish Independent. That's all we have time for.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.